Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Five individuals will be heading to prison following their sentencing for their roles in the 2022 murder of 25-year-old Brendan Benoit. Acting Erie County District Attorney Michael Kane expressed hope that the sentences will provide justice for Benoit's family.
The parents of this young man, Mr. Benoit, as well as the stepfather, brothers, cousins, aunts and uncles, they were all in court this morning, and they are pleased with the fact that this case has wrapped up, at least with respect to these four defendants.
28-year-old Jared Adamski received a 25-year prison term for manslaughter after fatally stabbing Benoit. Kaylee Skibik-Shu was sentenced to 10 years for manslaughter and evidence tampering. Harrison Drozen received 12 years for manslaughter, while Connor Crone was given time served plus probation for assault. Alexis Dean faces up to 4 years for tampering with evidence, though her sentence is pending. And pharmacists in New York State can administer the RSV vaccine. As part of a new public initiative, State Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald issued the order which targets adults 75 and over, those 60 to 65 with underlying conditions, and pregnant individuals. According to the Centers for Disease Control, RSV is attributed to deaths of 6,000 to 10,000 adults over the age of 65 each year in the United States. Two Buffalo police officers will not face criminal charges in connection with the February shooting death of a man on Reed Street. That was the determination from the State Attorney General's office following its review of the February 24th incident involving 58-year-old Edward Holmes. Officers were responding to a 911 call when they encountered Holmes, who was in the street armed with a shotgun. The Attorney General's office says body camera footage showed Holmes not adhering to orders to drop his weapon before firing upon officers. Officers responded by discharging their service weapons, striking Holmes, who was declared dead at the scene. A record number of tornadoes in New York State and other instances of extreme weather are fueling Senator Chuck Schumer's push for $30 million in federal funds to upgrade the nation's weather monitoring systems. This includes New York State's Advanced Regional Weather Early Warning Systems, known as MESANETs. Schumer says there are currently 127 MESANETs across the state and three in Erie County.
So this is a great system, and it can allow more timely, more quick, and more localized weather prediction, which will save money and save lives.
Schumer says increased funding for weather services-related projects is an investment against what he calls the extreme proposal to dismantle and cut funding for agencies like the National Weather Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Cummins Saladay, the latest production at Silo City
Morning
Edition
from
Torn Space Theater, continues this weekend. The production actually opened last weekend, so Torn Space founders Melissa Miola and Dan Shanahan stopped by our studios earlier this week to provide a review. How did it go this weekend?
It was a wonderful opening. The weather cooperated for Saturday and Sunday. And it was our 11th year at the Silos, and they continue to treat us well.
What do you take from the first weekend performances? Do you ever make adjustments afterwards?
For a project like this, it's designed in such a short period of time. We work with our actors for about 10 days and are only on site 4 or 5 days. So it really is a work in progress as we're developing it. So after we see the audience engage with the project, Melissa and I will sit back and think what adjustments need to be made and how to improve certain aspects of the project.
How was the response then? What were you seeing in these responses from the people that were attending over the weekend? What did you see?
We have a fantastic audience here in Buffalo, and people really showed up. There was a palpable excitement after the show. People felt, I think, energized by the experience, by being able to do more than they expected they might be able to do.
Sure.
Or have participate more than they maybe expected that they would want to participate. And I think that some people might say that it makes them nervous, but we like to call that the excitement of being alive.
While many return each year for Torn Space productions at Silo Cities, first-timers should be prepared for an immersive experience. Torn Space Productions typically don't follow familiar theatrical presentations. During Commensality, the dinner table is the performance.
For our project, the dinner party becomes the vehicle by which we tell our story. And it does involve audience participation, but in a very specific way. We've devised a series of cards, prompts, and parlor games that really move the action forward, allows the audience to participate through toasts that are scripted, parlor games which reinforce the theme of coming together, working as a group, achieving an outcome, and then open conversation that also is directed by prompts such as discuss a compliment of someone next to you, talk about someone that you would want to switch places with, and really guide people's creativity. What we're working hard at here is creating the environment and the conditions that allow people to want to participate. So it's very much about harnessing the creativity and the energy of the public, because they are such a crucial part of the project as a whole.
You know, you put a lot of thought into how these symbolic elements of your productions go. From where does that emerge? Is it a collaboration? I think maybe I ask you this question in different ways every year, but what about that?
It's a process that Melissa and I go through. It starts probably about 6 or 7 months before the production opens, and we start with themes that we feel are relevant to the time that we're living in. And this notion of borders and conflicts is very present in the news. We see it globally and certainly nationally in terms of how do we construct borders? How do we protect them? How malleable are borders? What happens when borders are erased? What types of ripple effects and conflicts and opportunities come out of this? So this seemed very prescient to be discussing. And then we have to start considering, well, how is this going to be translated into a performance language? So we start thinking of images that can amplify these themes. We consider the reality of the meadow of Silo City and what does that bring to the production? How do we work within that landscape? And then we start to formulate an outline and a very loose structured script, which we then bring to our design team and our performers. And then we take about a 10-day process and start to work these ideas with the actors. This particular production was challenging because you can't actually rehearse this project. You can rehearse the conditions and the parameters, but until the public actually comes to the show and becomes a part of it, you don't know what you have.
So we do ask the audience to dress in black and white, their best picnic black and white wear.
When the audience comes, they are broken up into four teams. They will be given a customized Torn Space t-shirt, which will signify what team they're on, the serpent, the hawk, the tiger, or the stag. And then they are asked to come in, just like you would a dinner party, and slowly ease into the enjoyment.
Tickets still available?
We have tickets. They are moving quickly, but people can purchase ahead of time at our website, tornspacetheater.com.
Well, Melissa and Dan, as always, great seeing you each summer. I'm sorry we couldn't get out to the site this time, but thanks for coming into WBFO.
Yeah, this is important for us to always have these conversations with you, Jay, and we really do appreciate the invitation.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.